The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As the conflict continues between Israel and Iran, various targets being hit by both sides, including an Israeli hospital, as you've been hearing on the news. This latest conflict is due to Israel's contention that Iran is close to developing a nuclear bomb. But this is something being claimed by the current Israeli Prime Minister for over 30 years now.
Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months.
They have the wherewithal, the stored up preserved knowledge to make a bomb very quickly if they wanted to do it.
Iran is so dangerous. Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from being about 90% of having the enriched uranium for an atom bomb.
Iran is gearing up to have to produce 25 bombs, atomic bombs a year, 250 bombs in a decade.
Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out.
And that was the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over a period of 30 years claiming again and again and again that Iran was very close to developing a nuclear device, which so far has not appeared. Well, this is the basis of the current exchange of aerial warfare between Israel and Iran. We're joined on the line by Israel's ambassador to Ireland, Dan Ehrlich. Ambassador, good morning and welcome.
A very tough morning in Israel and for all of us who believe in world stability and peace. So thank you for having me.
Now, you know, I'm very sorry to hear about a hospital being targeted, but there will be those who will say many hospitals were targeted in Gaza. So for Israel to adopt any high moral ground about their hospital being hit, it rings hollow to the international community.
I think making that equation is just a show of the of not understanding international law, the rules of war, and what is going on, and to draw that parallels. Let's be very clear that under international law, any facility, a civilian facility that is targeted from, that you are targeted from, is a legitimate war target. Unfortunately, that's what Hamas has been using in Gaza for years now, not just in this war. What Iran has done this morning and what they have fired since 5 days ago. They are deliberately, indiscriminately targeting civilians while we target their nuclear program, their ballistic program. They are targeting our people because they will know that this is what will pressure Israel because we believe in the lives of our population.
Now, the question of why this war is happening at the moment, it does seem as if Israel has now gained total air superiority over Iran. The number of missiles they are managing to hit Israel with has diminished even over the last 6 days from the initial response to Israel's attack. What is the end game for Israel at the moment?
I'll answer that, and I'll also include some of what you've started with, your comments on the opening. And it sounded as if you are ridiculing an existential threat that we are under. And
no, it's what not just I think it's important to say, he has been saying for 30 years they're weeks away. And 30 years on, there's no sign of a nuclear device. And as you know,
Previous Israeli government has also stated that. We are all alarmed by it. Different international leaders have said it. And if you listen very closely to the comments and statements coming out in the past 5 and 6 days, nobody is condemning Israel because everybody understands the threat. And I understand that sometimes Ireland has the privilege of being remote from all of these threats, but unfortunately, right now, Ireland is sadly out of step in understanding what is going on. So it's not just a concern that we are echoing. You're treating it as the boy who cried wolf.
But the point is that boy who cried wolf, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been saying exactly the same thing for over 30 years. And yet, that time of development of the nuclear capability, the nuclear research and so in Iran, no sign of those 25 atomic devices, no sign of progress. Tulsi Gabbard said in March that they were
correct.
At least 3 years away from a
bomb. Let me quote just the recent report of the nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, in its recent report at the end of May, said that Iran is not in a non-compliant situation with its obligation. It's a systematically deceiving and obstructing the work of the nuclear watchdog. Iran has been working all along on their nuclear program, including enrichment, including weaponization. But that's not the only threat. Iran poses a triple threat in a way, because it's the nuclear program, it's their ballistic missiles range and capabilities and the stockpile that they're building, and the vast proxy organizations that they have nurtured around all of our region.
Now,
most of the world understand that threat.
Okay, but can I just bring you back to something Netanyahu said at the time of Saddam's alleged buildup of weapons of mass destruction? This is what he said then.
It's a question of a realistic assessment of a threat, a palpable threat to our common civilization. There is no question whatsoever that Saddam is seeking and is working and is advancing towards the development of nuclear weapons. No question whatsoever. And there is no question that once he acquires it, history shifts immediately.
And, of course, as we know now, there was no sign of those WMD that gave rise to the invasion of Iraq. So he was wrong before, he could be wrong now.
We are talking about a very different situation, and I won't talk about the past. What I will talk about is the current situation. And for decades, the Iranian regime have methodically accelerated and developed a program to destroy Israel. And they're not shy about it. They say it everywhere. I didn't hear any Irish condemnation when Iran has violated the UN Charter and called repeatedly for the destruction of another UN member state, Israel. So it's not a threat that has come up just now or even from October 7th. This has been going on for decades. And again, it's not just Israel is saying that. The whole world understands it. And the German leader already said that it's Israel doing the dirty work for the rest of the world and the region. Let me ask you one thing. If we're putting aside, if we will, even though everybody agrees Iran should not have nuclear capabilities, let's talk about their ballistic missile program. If allegedly they only aim to target Israel, why do they need a range that reaches Europe? Why do they develop that range? Why have they accelerated the stockpiles of missiles that can reach Europe? So, Europe is concerned about it. So should Ireland.
Is the end game, therefore, and I know Benjamin Netanyahu has actually said it, that they want regime change in Tehran. In fact, you may remember he made an appeal directly to the population of Iran to overthrow their own leadership. The end game, would a regime change improve matters in the Middle East, do you believe?
Let's be very clear. Right now, the operation, which is part of an ongoing armed conflict, which Iran has launched us for decades, right now we see an imminent existential threat on Israel and on the region. And we see an accelerated pace on all fields, on the nuclear field, on the stockpiles of ballistic missiles, and the different work of the proxies around our borders. So we need to change that strategic power shift.
Okay. Now, the reason
we need to make sure that threat, that imminent threat, is dealt with. And this is what we're doing. Any change of regime needs to come from within, from the people in Iran, who have been suffering under this tyranny for decades. And we see the human rights violation in Iran. We see that the horrible way that they're treating women, LGBTQ, their own population. So
No one will claim that Iran is a model of a modern democracy. No one will claim that, nor do many of us agree with the kind of values that you talk about there, where there are various cohorts of population who are persecuted. But the question of regime change, should it happen? Again, I go back to your Prime Minister Netanyahu, who believed that with the taking out of Saddam Hussein, everything would change.
If you take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region. And I think that people sitting right next door in Iran, young people, and many others will say The time of such regimes, of such despots.
So, he said that, and of course Saddam was taken out, and what did we have in the wake of Saddam being taken out? We had chaos, not this wonderful, peaceful horizon that he had promised should that event happen.
But again, you're trying to compare situations that are very different. And Iraq,
I'm just trying to point out that he does get it wrong.
Institutions. Well, what we're talking about right now is the intelligence estimation, not only that Israel has that, but many countries, most countries in the area, the region, the world, we all understand the threat that Iran poses. Nobody is questioning that. And everybody understands that Iran needs to be stopped. So this is why when you look at the statements of the G7, of different leaders, they all understand that what Israel is doing is not just to clear this imminent threat from Israel, but it's to bring, for the hopes of bringing stability to the region when this such unstable state, like rogue state, is operating and threatening all of us. And this is not a new thing. Again, you're trying to compare it to decent situations. You cannot compare. Iran has been in the backdrop of all of the terrorist attacks, the different work of Hezbollah, of Hamas, of the Houthis, of the Shia militias in Iraq itself. So Iran has been responsible internally and externally to destabilize the whole region and the world. And that needs to be addressed. And most of the world understands it.
I think most of the world might welcome some sort of regime change in Tehran simply because of the repression that is visited on its own citizens, in part some cohorts of the population, and also some of the generally repressive values that we would not subscribe to. But the question is, what would succeed such a regime, and would it be a friend to Israel? I mean, given what Israel has been doing to Iran on foot of Iran's proxy attacks on Israel, would the people of Iran ever feel that Israel could be a friend?
Again, you are talking about a regime change. I am not talking about a regime change. A regime change needs to come from the people and for the benefit of the people in Iran. That's a different topic. What we are talking about right now is an existential imminent threat on Israel and the region that needs to be stopped. This strategic shift of power needed to be done at the 11th hour. And we saw that acceleration, and this is why we operated. It's not something that came out only last Thursday. It's not something that came up since October 7th. It's something that we have systematically seen for years Iran doing. So any talk about improving the lives of Iranian people, we are all for that discussion. But right now, we need to protect ourselves, the region, and the world from the threat that Iran poses.
Okay, now, if Iran is the existential threat to the existence of Israel, I mean, on the other hand, the Palestinians in Gaza will say that Israel is an existential threat to their existence. We've seen what's been happening. There's been starvation. There's been the bombing of hospitals, schools, etc. And I know you'll talk about the rules of war and what's allowed and what is not allowed. But the suffering there is quite apparent. There is no other way to describe it. It's abhorrent and apparent.
Well, the war that Hamas launched in Gaza is tragic. It needs to be stopped. And we have in the past and constantly agreed to the different negotiations agreements. And we've seen Hamas rejected time after time. And we need to understand when we look at this unique wider context, the connection between Hamas and Iran, and the fact that behind the scenes, Iran is pulling all the strings in order to make sure that we are targeted and attacked from these different fronts. You are right that as long as Hamas and Iran are there, the people in Gaza and the people in Israel cannot be safe. And those challenges need to be addressed by the whole community, by the whole population, not just by Israel.
But you know that starvation as a weapon of war is in fact a war crime, and that's what's been happening. And whether you like it or not, scenes...
I'm sorry.
When people are looking for food and then they are opened fire upon by the IDF and 140 people, the latest number of people killed while queuing for food, that is not acceptable in any arena.
We are at the 622nd day of this war with 53 hostages still in Gaza. And I am still surprised by the way the narrative is being portrayed in Ireland, repeating automatically numbers and information given by the Hamas different ministries. This is what I'm surprised at. To say that there is starvation or deliberate starvation, I reject that because we have been actively working.
Look, the people of Israel,
sure
the people of Israel,
trucks go in.
The people of Israel may not see the pictures that we see. I know there is reluctance to show these kind of terrible scenes.
I see it, and I see it as a diplomat. I see it as in my position. I see it because I read all media, and it's time and time again that I'm surprised how quick Irish media is to pick up on information that comes out of Gaza without checking it. And every day we see accounts of people being shot, but nobody's saying why they were shot or who shot them. And sometimes when it's Hamas or it's their own, unfortunately, riots between population, nobody mentioned that.
People queuing for aid being shot upon. I mean, there is no question. And the IDF themselves issue a statement saying we are investigating what happened when our people opened fire.
That was in some of the cases, not all of them. When these people were not in the line to get food, but they were approaching the soldiers. But let me be clear about this, because I'm not disregarding the tragic situation in Gaza. It's horrible. And we need to work to make sure that the people of Gaza have a better horizon. We need to make sure that our 53 hostages are released and brought back home. And we need to make sure that all of our region have some sort of hope for stability. That cannot happen while Hamas is there. And every time again, the questions are directed at Israel and what Israel is doing. Let me ask you, what is Ireland doing in order to stop Hamas? What is Ireland doing in order to stop Iran? What is Ireland doing in order to bring more stability to the region? And again, the threat is not only on Israel. The missile range right now that Iran has reaches Europe. Most of Europe understands that. Does Ireland understand it? Still, we see different anti-Israeli initiatives brought within government and opposition as if that is the main concern right now.
Ireland has, as you probably know, having lived here for so long, has a history of imperialism. We were the imperial victim of England for so long. We have experience of famine. We empathize with people who are starving, who have nothing to feed their children with. We empathize with them. And when we see the ludicrous situation set up, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, where people have to travel maybe 100 kilometers to try and get a bag of flour, that is no way to distribute aid. And everybody common sense knows that is not the way to do it.
Well, the way that you are describing this narrative, it's part of the moral distortion and the double standards that Ireland holds. Because right now there is a tragic situation in Gaza that we are trying to solve along with different allies and the international community. Ireland can be part of that solution. Unfortunately, it chooses just to criticize
Israel. You've been condemned by other European. It's not just Ireland. Other European countries have condemned what you're doing.
To disregard the history of the Jewish people and the history of the way that Israel was established after a UN decision and after we were also ruled by the British Mandate. So you are very selective when you look at the past and you are very selective when you look at the current reality. So if we want to show some of these double standards, I mean, the fact that there are different legislation aimed only at Israel right now being discussed in the Irish Parliament, or the fact that Ireland is calling for a review of the association agreement with Israel. Yeah. We are now at war with Hamas and an operation with Iran, but they're asking about that, and they're not asking about review association agreements with Turkey, with other countries who are violators of human rights. So, I mean, if we take the criticism of
Irish
media with a grain of salt.
We have an expression here. Everybody's out of step except our Johnny. He's the one who is out of step with the troops. But the mother looks at him and says, everyone's out of step except my Johnny. And it looks that that's the view you take. Everybody's out of step except Israel. Everybody looking at Gaza says, you are doing terrible things in Gaza. It's got to stop. And you say, oh, no, we're not. We're doing the right thing and everybody else is wrong. The doctors are wrong. Médecins Sans Frontières Frontier are wrong. UNICEF are wrong. Oxfam are wrong. They're all wrong.
I'm sorry, but at this situation, Ireland is sadly out of step in understanding the unique wider context. Most countries in the world, especially in Europe, understand it, understand the threat that we are going through, and I understand that this threat is not only about Israel, but about the region and about the whole world. So it's not that we are saying that we are don't have any mistakes. When we have mistakes, as a very, as every democratic, law-abiding country, we review them, and you even ridicule when we review them, but we still look at what we do and we reflect, and there are different methods and mechanisms in order to review that. But you cannot disregard the threat of Iran, the threat of its proxies, including Hamas. You cannot disregard their responsibility for the current situation in Gaza, in Israel, in the region, and in the world. So it's not that we think that we are the only one who are operating correctly. We understand that the whole world is watching and understands what is going on. Unfortunately, again, in Ireland, we see a double standard and a moral distortion. The reasons for that are vast, and that's for another discussion. But Ireland is the one that it's sadly out of step.
There are other countries, as you know, within the European Union, which support the contention of Ireland in criticizing Israel for its treatment of the people of Gaza, depriving them of food and so on. The question, say, there was that flotilla, Israel turned it away.
You mean that publicity stunt?
It did draw the world's attention to what was going on, of course. I mean, it was.
But it's not attention. It's attention about that yacht that was trying to sail. It's not attention about what can be done in order to change the lives of Palestinians in Gaza. It wasn't attention about how do we make sure that more aid goes in. It was just a publicity stunt, and I'm surprised.
Yeah, but they were arrested in international waters, which was against the international law.
The world has continued from that case, and we are involved in serious discussions about how do we make sure that more aid goes into the Palestinian people. This is what I would assume Ireland will be focusing on, and not this publicity stunt.
And there are so many agencies queuing up with trucks who want to get in and they can't because of this new distribution system you have through the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which has obviously done some good, but its methodology has been questioned by pretty much every aid organization, saying it's not the right way to do it. It doesn't protect someone who's got food, for example, from being attacked by a bandit and that food robbed from them as they wearily make their way home trying to find their family. You know,
the previous system empowered Hamas. The previous system also didn't make sure that everybody in Gaza got supplies. We need to find a system. It's still a work in progress. And right now, dozens of millions of aid has been going through, and different meals and supplies are being going through. And we are working constantly in order to make sure that more and more goes in. And when you repeat UN organizations working on the ground, it is important to understand that everybody in Gaza is at the mercy of Hamas. And they have an option. They can either repeat what Hamas is telling them, or their safety of their families, their friends will be in danger, their own safety. So I don't blame them for repeating what Hamas is saying. What I'm asking is for the international community,
Ambassador, I don't
be more
accept.
Critical
We had James Elder of UNICEF on the show last Friday. He gave us chapter and verse of what he had seen. He was permitted to travel around Gaza. He told us what he had seen. He indicated this is a fearless man who does not fear Hamas or anybody else. He knows his movements are circumscribed by the IDF and to some extent by Hamas. It does not stop him seeing what he's seeing on the ground and the privations that are occurring and the starvation. I mean, something's very wrong with the decision of Israel to get involved in this joint American-Israeli operation, the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, to do distribution in a way that is simply not effective.
Well, the previous method was also not effective because we saw how Hamas is abusing that. We saw how Hamas is stockpiling that aid and not distributing it to the population. We are trying to break that cycle. We have seen that the system, the UN is rejecting the new system because we have rejected UNRWA from taking a role in that after UNRWA has been repeatedly compromised by Hamas.
Now, you know
so the
that the head
that the UN disregarding
the head of the the head of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, when you announced the whole thing, he resigned because he said the methodology as proposed by you was not going to work and he could not personally adhere to the humanitarian standards that he espouses by doing what you wanted to do. So that was the top guy in the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. He resigned and that was the reason he gave.
But since that, millions of meals and stockpiles and aid has been going through and has been distributed. So that is done daily because the notion is that what we are trying to attempt is to get to more and more people and doing it in a way that doesn't empower Hamas. We need to break that cycle.
Ambassador, we go back to where we started to conclude our conversation. Do you want the United States to use its bunker-busting bomb, 30,000-pound bomb, to target the Iranian nuclear facility in Fordow?
Right now, obviously, I'm not in any position to talk about military steps or what the future will bring. I will just talk about what is going on right now. And already right now, Iran is in a different position and a different situation than it was on Thursday before this operation started. Iran is not used to having that consequences on its ground affecting its higher people that have been responsible for the nuclear program and the ballistic missile program. They're used to sending proxies and fighting from a distance.
Now, by
so
the way,
right
just
now
if,
they understand.
I understand
that
all that
situation
now,
has changed.
You know, Netanyahu wanted to target the supreme leader, the Ayatollah, and his hand, it would appear, was stayed by Donald Trump. Do you believe that if he is a legitimate target, the supreme leader, that Netanyahu is a legitimate target too for the other side?
But you are repeating different speculations and rumors as if they are statements and they are the truth. I don't know that. You don't know that either. What I do know is the current situation of the nuclear program, the ballistic program, and the different encouragement and training and funding of different proxies around Israel in order to destabilize and attack Israel. That is what we know. And we've seen those three elements being accelerated in the past month in a way that could not continue anymore. And this is why that imminent existential threat needed to be addressed.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.